Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast. Are you locked into the Out of Home Podcast?
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast, featuring Kieran, Kwame, Yah, and Stephen.
You London boys are crazy.
What's going on, everybody? This is our third installment of our Golden Generation series, where we dig a little bit deeper into the cast members that appear in our film. This episode is with Burano. The man is a creative and also a community champion, repping Ghana and the southeast of Amsterdam. And this talk that we have with him is truly inspirational. So we hope you enjoy it. Please sit back, relax, and remember, keep it out of home.
Welcome to the Out of Home Podcast, a show brought to you by four Londoners living in Amsterdam, capturing and sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own.
Come on. In the building,
I have...
Yeah.
Stephen, Kwame, myself, and we're joined by rapper, community leader,
champion,
Burano from the South Side. What's good, my G? Hey.
Good. Thank you for the accolades.
I'm good.
Man. So obviously, as I was saying, this is our second installment of Golden Generation. It's our vibe. It's a vibe. What's going on? Like, Yah said in the first episode.
Imagine if brands start picking up, yeah. Like, instead of saying our newest ad or our newest campaign,
yeah,
our latest vibe.
Yeah. We started it. We basically started that shit.
Yeah, like, we need to trademark that shit ASAP.
Yeah.
Like, can you just imagine a board meeting, yeah, just bare middle class white people, like, right, guys, so our latest vibe. We really want to tap into da 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 da.
But yeah, it's all about reaching out to people that we found wavy in Amsterdam that are moving in the creative space, that are enabling people, that are doing things themselves, that are helping people become better creatives, and just to understand the what's the essence of what's going on in Amsterdam right now. So we've handpicked a few people that we're cool with. You're one of them, but we really want to understand, like, what makes you move? What's the things that have, like, triggered you to be the creatives that you are and in the spaces that you are, to give back to a younger generation to say, look, where you are, you might be where you are, but there's possibilities.
So can I add to that, bro, quickly, while you're there? Because, like, obviously we grew up in London, innit? Like, myself, Kieran, Kwame, South London, Stephen's North London. But when we moved to Damier, we kind of, like, had to adjust to the vibe of the city. Because I feel like in London, it's more like protective, like every person for themselves. Yeah. And you sort of stick to your clique, innit? But you don't really go much outside of that. Whereas here in Amsterdam, everyone that I've encountered has just been mad open, like, just super cool, like, just very embracing of our culture and who we are. And I think what that's done for us is just made us really curious about the Amsterdam culture as well, innit? And the more people you speak to that have grown up here, the more you realise, because we live in a little bit of an expat bubble sometimes, innit? Like, especially when we first come here, we only go to Albert Heijn and our bank cards with ABN AMRO, bruv. Like, typical, you know what I'm saying? Like, the typical expat thing, innit? Yeah, but, like, the more that we just chopped up with people from the city, we was like, rah, like, Amsterdam is a wavy city, isn't it? Mm-hmm. For the culture, the people, and that's what we're most interested in.
And it's layered.
It's very layered. I just wanted to add more context to what you're saying, because it's interesting for us as Londoners, isn't it? Because for you it's very normal, but for us it's fucking interesting.
Bro. Yeah, man. Yeah. Mm. Like, trust me, man. Like, and just to add to Yas's point, I think we wanted to be, like, when we came over, we really wanted to see that side of Amsterdam and to be a part of, like, that the creative scene here, because we felt like we could contribute and also learn from it as well.
Definitely.
So yeah, that's why we wanted to have these conversations. That's why we think they're important to have. And we're just very grateful to have you here today. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think the first thing that we want to do and lead this whole conversation is ask you what gold means to you. And I'd love to get that answer. So yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Just to get back to what Yap was saying, like the same feeling you have of you guys, of course, have of Amsterdam, I have for London.
Mm,
like when I go there, I remember the first time I went there, I think was in 2012, 2011. I went to visit some family. But when I went there, it was like Amsterdam on steroids, basically. For me, you know?
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was crazy to see, like, oh, it's just basically Amsterdam, but just 10 times bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny that you say that, because the same feeling you have for Amsterdam, I have for London, you know? So it's funny.
What part of London did you say in
there? I think it was South London.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure, but I think South London.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, South London. Yeah, and to get back to Kieran's answer, what does gold mean to me? Royalty is what comes to mind.
Sick.
Yeah, because I'm Ghanaian, obviously. And yeah, also known as the Gold Coast. And yeah, I just used to see a lot of gold on, like, the Ohines, you know, the kings of the, like, the villages and the tribes. Mm-hmm. And when you said gold, the first time I saw the gold slipper with the, you know, with the gold knob and the yo, yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy, you know, and like the hat with the gold knobs and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, gold means to me like royalty. That's the first word that came to mind.
It's wavy, man. It's funny that you bring up royalty, because, like, I think when we initially started this vibe, it was about, like, discovering and talking about royalty and looking at it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at what we are and where we are now, exactly where it should be, because, like, gold is very synonymous with black people, and I would assume so anyway, with our history and with our people, it's our mineral when it comes to, like, what we what represents us, I think.
But the interesting thing there is that's not what was taught.
Yeah.
What was taught was, like, for us anyway, was like King Henry VIII. Yeah, that was taught him rocking gold, but it wasn't taught. So, like, for me, it wasn't until, like, I was, like, Nas, it was a song, I Know I Can.
That
song was way,
where he started breaking down it, and then I was just like, oh, okay, cool, like, there's another story out there. And then, for me, you know the chain that I was wearing? So, like, I had that my first birthday.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, raw Ghana gold, actually.
Wow.
So, like, it wasn't until, like, obviously Nas has said what he had, and it's been on my mind.
Mm.
And then I just said to my mum, because it was just lying dormant there, I just said, okay, cool, no, give me that, because that's my identity. That's how I came into this world wearing gold, innit?
Mm.
So then from that moment, I was just like, anything that I have is just going to be gold. That's, like, my thing. So, like, the rings I'll rock, everything is gold. And it was from that moment of realizing, actually, like, when my mum showed me that baby picture, I was 1 year old with a gold necklace around my chain.
Winner.
Around my neck. So I was just like,
fucking winner, bro.
I was like, that's me from birth.
Mm.
So I started, okay, cool, let me claim that's kind of like, I don't want to say like birthright, but almost like gold is.
But it's funny how, like, the connotations of gold have changed, because it's like, if a person of color is wearing gold, they're kind of seen to be flashy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain narrative, but actually, it's the complete opposite. And it's like more of just a natural thing. It's like an extension of them and who they are. It's a resource that comes from that part of the world that was readily available and wasn't commoditized, innit?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it belongs to us. That is, like, it's almost like when you wear gold, it should, as you said, it shouldn't be like, oh yeah, my man's wearing this because he wants to do this. It's like, actually, gold, it just sits right. It's where we're from. Like, our people.
Yeah. Do you know?
Go on.
I said, do you know what the biggest talk? Go to Egypt and talk about gold, fam. They were burying people in gold.
That's the biggest flex.
They're throwing up biggest gold.
No, but I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like at that time they didn't even realize how precious the metal was.
Right?
It was just whatever it was.
It was like pavement. It was just like raw gold, isn't it? What are we gonna do? Yes.
Imagine having something so in abundance. It's like, yeah, we can just bury people with this.
It's crazy. Trust me. But I think it's also like, to get back what you were saying, it's like also like they wanted to maybe change the narrative, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Because as you were saying, like with the Nas song, that's when you started realizing, like, it actually has a different meaning.
Yeah.
And I think because they know it's like an extension of us, they try to like erase it or change the story.
That's true.
I just thought about, like, yo, that's crazy, because when you were saying, when y'all were saying, like, yo, it's associated with like being flashy or like showing off or whatever. Like that's now in these times, that's how we perceive it. But it's never been like that. You know what I'm saying? So
do you imagine? All right, cool. So to us, yeah, we came up with this gold, and I might be going off on a tangent. So please,
thing,
we came up with this gold, right? And then, what are we gonna call people that come over and steal things? Are we calling them
colonizers?
They're not merchants.
The colonizers come to Africa. They realize that this gold is everywhere because obviously Spain had a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
In that time, but they've come over and they've been like, "Rah, right? We're gonna steal all this gold, and then what we're gonna do is gonna make it hard for a black man or black person or black people to come up and to obtain." Mm. So the one thing that they could get, this is their thing of status. But, bruv, it's always been ours, you know what I'm saying? Mm. It's kind of fucked up, isn't it, when you think about how they've changed, as you said, like what Burano said, yeah. They flipped it to be like, okay, well, you might have had this, but first of all, you're going to have to work 100 times harder to get to the thing that you actually belongs to you, that owns you, innit? It's mad.
You know what's crazy is that, like, a bunch of times I would go to, like, museums when I was younger, on school trips. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing these like trinkets or these shields from Ghana or Swaziland or Egypt. I'm like, raw. But why is it not in Ghana or Swaziland or Egypt? Like, even though you're showing it and you're proud to have it, but why do you even have it? But as I'm a youngster,
you never question that, innit?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, this museum has everything I need. But it's like, no, but that's theft, then, innit? You understand?
Yeah.
Because and a lot of times the original artifacts are in London, New York, or Amsterdam, and the MoMA Museum, or the British Museum, or the Woodgrove Museum. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm allowed to learn, but I could also learn through a picture of it or something. You understand?
Yeah, that's what's crazy to me is the actual thing. It's right there. You know, it's crazy.
And then like if I take it, I'm a thief. It's like, big man, you've done the same thing, isn't it? Like, isn't it? Like.
Yeah. But what I think's interesting here is like we're talking about an element of history, innit?
Yeah.
And transitioning to now, like the perception of what gold is, I think history more than ever now has been questioned, and new examples are being set and new narratives are being led, and I think that ties in nicely to what we're talking about today, innit? And if we talk about history and gold, like the Dutch society has a big history of that as well, right, with the golden age. And we were super curious to understand and know, like, okay, what is this thing? Because you do some research and it comes up to this thing that's like, yeah, really prosperous time of like Dutch superiority, and trade. But like, what is it to you and how was it communicated to you growing up? Because, you know, as people that aren't from this country, we had to kind of seek out that information. And depending on who you spoke to, we'd get different answers. So I'm just curious to know from your side.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question because to be honest, it was just like spoon-fed to me, like in school, and I just went with it because this is what it is. I don't know, you know? And I think I was like, I guess around 17, 18, when I started just seeing stuff and be like, yo, this is not the thing they were telling me in school, because I forgot the exact name, but there's a book about like the black history of Holland, like it's called the Black Page in the in the Book of Holland. Like, yo, that shit is crazy, and I still don't know the full details, of course, till this day. But I just know like we've been lied to for a very long time. You know? So, it's crazy actually growing up in a country as Holland, as small as Holland, you know, because it's such a small country, but it has so much power.
Yes.
You know, and to me, it's like it's a riddle to me. Like it's crazy, you know, like such a small country has so much influence in the rest of the world.
Why do you think that is?
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest. I really don't know. I don't know how, I don't know. I don't think I've done enough research to really have an answer on that, but I'm just baffled. Like, it's crazy, you know?
It's so crazy that you say that because, like, for us, we see that, and that was the first thing. It's like, why is this country so powerful for a country so small, innit? And now, like, what we feel is the continuation of this power and the people that are really flying the flag for the Netherlands. Is this golden generation, like people like yourself. And that's why we think there's so many parallels between this community and this generation now versus what the golden age was described to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like you spoke about, obviously, growing up in Amsterdam. What was that like? Yeah. Like, what was What was your vibe growing up? Obviously, you said you come from Ghanaian parents. There's a big Ghanaian community here.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
Is you could speak to my man.
Huge.
Hella.
Huge. Tell us, man. Like, obviously, there's going to be a lot of people listening that don't know this side of Amsterdam, innit? They only know coffee shops and the red light district, but not many people know the realness. So tell us, bro.
Like, yeah, it's funny, man. Like, I remember, as you said, growing up, it was fun, but it was weird in a way because I grew up in Southeast Balmer, kind of rough, and it was an interesting experience because from a young age I started getting into contact with different cultures. My neighbor left to me was Turkish, but one on the right was from Aruba. The one next to them was Philippines. Next to them was Surinamese. So you can imagine that's only my strip, and I live in a flat. So you can imagine how the flat looked like, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting in elementary school, being in class with children from Polish descent to Dominican descent. So it's totally my English is a bit...
Yeah, like varied. Varied, I know what you mean.
Yes,
yeah,
varied.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know, so it was interesting because I learned about a lot of cultures from early. So to me, being with different people from different backgrounds was normal. And then as I grew older, because Balmer was a place... we lived in our own bubble. Like, everything was there. I don't need to go out of the Balmer because everything is there, you know? Mm. And when I started getting older, as I went to, like, high school, because I went to high school in Amstelveen.
Okay.
That's, like, total opposite of the Belmont, and that's when I started realizing stuff like actual racism, like in your face racism, and just perceptions of the Belmont. Because like I remember the first question that was asked to me was like I think it was the first or second day in class, and we did like you sat in like in a circle and
circle
just
time.
Introduce yourself, you know. Introduce yourself. And I'm like, I'm Brano, I'm blah blah blah, I'm from Amsterdam Southeast. And this dude just like, have you been shot? Like what?
I'm 12,
so,
isn't it?
Like, what are you talking about?
So just to stop you just there quickly, what's the perception of Southeast to the rest of the Netherlands or just the rest of Amsterdam? Because you said like once you stepped out of the Bijlmer and you went to Amsterdam for college, that's when you started to really realize racism. So what is the perception outside of your area, of your area?
Yeah, it's just very negative because everything that happens in the Bijlmer just gets put on a magnifying glass.
Negative stuff.
Yeah, all the negative stuff. Because of course it's a lot of minorities there. It was really built not for us, but we just happened to land there. I think the first people that were actual people living from the Bijlmer were Surinamese, and then not long after came the Ghanaians and the Antillians and you name it. And so it was really negative because all of a sudden, in a very white country, you had this really mixed heart, a lot of mixed people. A lot of people from immigrant backgrounds were living at one place. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's like, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
It's like, I think it was like a threat because, we got the sauce, we got everything, you know? So, of course, all of a sudden, now there's like the source is right there, you know? Yeah. And so everything that happened in a negative daylight was just, it was crazy, man. So I think... For us, it was like, this is weird. This is not this. Of course, this happens, but where doesn't it happen?
Yeah,
you know? And
exactly.
To people outside of the Bijlmer, it was like, this is 24/7.
Yeah.
So if you step somewhere and you're like, I'm from Southeast, automatically they think you're a thug or because that's how the news perceives it. You know.
So what's that like dealing with though?
Weird, man, but you get used to it. I don't know. It's even strange for me to say out loud.
Crazy,
that you just get used to it, man. It's crazy.
That's so nuts. That it's almost like a town in London, not even like a place, because it's like saying Brixton.
Yeah.
But then Brixton is the Bijlmer. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, how could you just like one city be like, that's where your problems are. Like, problems like it's fucked up. It's mad fucked up. Like, how did that? What does that do for you? Like, growing up, like, just from a mental perspective, because it's like, right, I'm from Southeast.
It's your home, innit?
Yeah, it's my home, innit? Like, what does that? What does that do to you?
Yeah, it's funny that you say, man, because I've had like similar talks to my peers and people like older generation, and it's just, it's crazy. I think mentally, you get like a bulletproof vest, because you just get used to taking shots, you know, and it's weird. It just forms you differently, you know. Just, I know like 90% of the my generation, we have like two sides, because when we go out somewhere, let's say outside of the Belmont, I remember back in the days, we never used to say Southeast. You just say
code switching,
or just because if you say Southeast, the perception of you just changes instantly.
But then, but then, what happens if somebody would be like, "Oh, but whereabouts?"
Then you have to. Yeah. At least in my case, I never used to lie. But I never, especially if I was not in the area, I would just say Amsterdam. Wow. Just to say.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. And I would not say Belmer. Southeast. But even if you say Southeast, because it's the same.
So, like, would you rather say something like a Cryonist or?
Not, I wouldn't even go there.
Really?
Yeah, man. Just Southeast, because they don't even know the rest.
Okay.
Just
Southeast. So there's this. There's this thing that people use to describe that. It's like code switching.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that as black kids, black people, the black community or ethnic communities, we often have to code switch to make sure that we are accepted within the spaces that we're in. And it's actually quite crazy because we do it without even realizing that we do it. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, for instance, you're saying that you've got two sides. There's probably maybe more than that, you know?
Because if
you think about it, it's like you've got, right now you're with your boys, then you might be with your family. Then you're with outside, just the street in the ends. Then you're going to the city. Then you're in front of different people. Like we constantly code switch.
Yeah,
and we're constantly dimming ourselves. Well, I not anymore. But I feel like our community constantly dim themselves in the face of other people because we just want to make sure that other people feel comfortable around us.
Yeah. But we should be made to feel comfortable, right? Yeah. Like, I think we will have this... We have this thing that we know about, and it's like, for us, man, everyone in here is black. Everyone knows about this concept of, like, the like, white people phone voice, innit? Hello, Kwame speaking here, you understand, innit? But if you're a white person...
I'd like to order some Chinese.
Hello there.
If you're a white person, and it's not a shot, that's just... That might be, like... that's your voice, per se, you understand that? Like, you don't need to code switch because... Because the way you talk is accepted, you understand? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's about Amsterdam, but there's a whole thing in America about AAVE. That's African American Vernacular English, right?
Jeez, go on, B.
Which is a language, right? But a lot of kids are told to, like, not speak, or like they're told, oh, like you should speak a real language, you should speak properly.
Yeah,
but. To our people in America, that's a language problem. And a dialect. Do you understand, exactly. innit? Because I have really negative stories that my parents, and I think this happens a lot. But my parents, and I wish they chose differently. My parents, when they were young, or when we were young, they told us they basically didn't speak a lot of like tree to us, which is the native native Akan language, right? Because they were told by the midwives, if they speak tree to us, then we will be confused as kids. And as Ghanaian parents, all they wanted was education. So like they were like, okay, you should really speak English to the kids. So my parents were like, okay, we'll speak mostly English. So that meant growing up, I didn't hear as much like tree as I would have liked to. And now I'm a big bad age of 31, and my tree is. You understand?
Mm.
And I think that's fucked up. You think about it. You understand?
It's messed up. Yeah.
Because like, wait, so. And also, it's silly because they should know as a midwife, but babies can swim, they can speak three or four languages at once or learn. Yeah, you understand it? And I think that's part of the, like, I wouldn't say like indoctrination, but it's the mind tricks. You understand? Did you come across anything like that coming up, or where you felt like your heritage was held back against you coming from Ghana, or did you get any like ignorant questions? Sorry, let me ask.
Yeah, man, all the time. But I'm happy that I grew up in the Belmont because it was normal to be not from Holland, you know.
Mm-hmm,
so it wasn't strange for us to be like with friends and just talk tree, speak tree, speak your native tongue because that's where we're from. And I was happy that my parents always spoke tree to me, so I'm pretty fluent in tree.
Why idea?
Thank you, Midase. but it's funny that you say because. Talking about the AAVE, that was you saying, is the same here, like, because we are grammatic, grammar is different from like the Dutch grammar.
Yeah.
But because we have to also learn like basically multiple languages, we just made it easier and just use like I'm just making something of like Caribbean grammar, but just speaking in Dutch. Yeah, so it sounds really odd to someone who speaks like the normal Dutch. Yeah, it sounds really odd. Like, yo, that sentence doesn't make sense. And to us, like, yeah, but we understand each other.
Certain words, right? Like vaca boys or son.
Yeah, but that's like actual word. That's like streets, that's slang, but it's actual Surinamese words. Exactly. You know?
That's how we came together, really.
Exactly.
When you think about like going back to this idea of gold and taking that gold from where it came from. When you look at like slavery, we had to speak patois. These are tribes from all over Africa that are coming to places together in America, and they had to figure out a way to speak, and that's what we've been doing. We've always found a way to communicate with each other. Mm. Like that's facts, and that we'll always continue to do that. Mm.
I just wanted to switch it up as it's a nice summer day. Well, it's not a summer day, but the sun is shining, and I just wanted to switch up the flow a little bit and just talk. So if the Baum was kind of like your personal like kingdom, what were some of the things, who were the royalty to you growing up, and what were some of the places that kind of brought you joy, or what were the gold in your area, what were the kind of the precious things to you in that area, did you regard as royalty in your area, like what were some of the positives that you want to speak
about? Really good question, and I really love that question, because I used to think small, because everything was in that bubble. Mm. So all the people I looked up to was like literally two blocks away. Because on the news, because on the news and stuff, even if the person was doing good, you don't look like me, bro. I can't even relate on that level. In school, like people used to come and like motivational talks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yo, my nigga, you're white. You know, I'm sorry to put it, but I can't relate. I can't relate what you're talking about. I used to look up to. When you were saying that, one guy in particular, he was like, just like a hood guy in it, like a dealer, whatever. But he was like in a group, in a gang, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were playing soccer one time outside, and he wanted to play, but he had on like fresh Air Force Ones, you know. And he was like,
which, by the way, sorry to cut you. Anytime you see Burano, bruv,
rain,
snow, or shine, Air Force Ones are never creased, not a stain on them.
Fresh out the book.
Sorry to cut you. I just
Shout out, Jeff. That's the Bellman in me. That's how I learned, if you have the Air Force Ones on, it has to be
fresh,
spotless, you know? That's where it actually birthed, like, the guy you wanted to play, but he had on, like, fresh Air Force Ones, So he was like, yo, G, what's your size? And, like, some random kid, he's like, yeah, I'm size, whatever. So it's the same size, okay? He's like, okay, take these, give me your shoes. Mm. And we were playing, and we stopped playing, we finished. And the guy was like, yo, your shoes? He's like, no, man, keep it. Mm, I was like, what? Like, yo, bro, you know what the fuck is on your feet? He's like, yeah, man, it's just shoes, whatever, take it. Mm. And that, instantly, I was like, yeah, man, this is the guy's I want to look up to, because to me it's like, he just gave this kid like fresh Air Force Ones, but for him it's nothing, but for that kid who doesn't have
everything,
it's everything, to me it's like, that's where my love for the Belmer, it already was, but it just skyrocketed, because I only see stuff like that there,
That's crazy, man. That's like an amazing story, and then I think like even the Air Forces, when we look at kind of like what we're talk royalty was, is like the whole big flowing gown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, if I deep it, what you're saying is like
those are royal fresh pieces, bro.
Yeah, fresh Air Force is a part of the culture, and it's if they're really spotless, that's a form of like royalty. And I'm just curious to go under this path and then see what are some other instances in the Bauma that you're like, cool, this is kind of like the culture of royalty that you were seeing around you, because that's one example. But I'm sure if you dig deep, there's probably other things that you can think of that were like kind of precious to you, or just kind of the things that you were looking up to and say like, yeah, this is kind of what I'm aiming for.
I think a big part of the love that I have for the Bauma comes from inspiration. Mm. Like that story for me was just inspiring.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it did to the kid, but when I looked into his eyes, I saw like it moved him. Because it moved all of us. We were young, To us, like Air Force Ones, now it's okay, we can just get it. But at that time, it's like, yo, this is insane, and this guy just giving it to me. So I think another story is, of course, stuff happens and you see like people beef and whatever, whatever. I think one story that comes to mind is also the same gang I was talking about. They were having a little like discussion amongst each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like, I think like police came or something. But to me, it was like, okay, probably everyone is gonna run, or everyone is gonna be like for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And like it literally looked like an army just started to form. And it, like 2 minutes ago, they were like beefing, you know?
Mm.
And they just started forming like, nah, man, we, you know, this is our block. You're not gonna come and bully us on this block. And to me, it's like, yo, like,
unity.
It's like, you know, like brotherhood. Like I can beef with you this moment, but when someone try to come and step into our home, it's all of the beefs out of the window.
Yeah, really,
we're gonna form one front, you know? And like, yeah, there are multiple stories, but those specific things just engraved in my mind, you know? So yeah.
As you're saying, I just got the images. You know, like when your kingdom comes under attack, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, okay, cool, the people and are like the front line there. And it actually just got me thinking, just like, kind of, when you hear the word gang, it's always negative or it's always things. So, I'm trying to glorify that, because we know there's a lot of things bad there, but like from the word gang, it's gone on to mean like technically people would say us five in a room, this is a gang.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been like project negativity on a group of black people is what's come to mean. Whereas I think originally a gang was like people
coming together.
It's a collection of people, isn't it?
To do certain activities. Yeah. But like now it's just become a blanket term, whereas if you have someone walk in now and say like, oh yeah, these gang of black guys, like without knowing anything, but like for you, what was your experience on like kind of like gang culture, both the negative and the positive? Because I found that story so fascinating that like just kind of banded together to do something good.
I was never in a gang.
Yeah.
But I was just generally the guy. Still, I'm cool with everyone.
Yeah.
Like I can be cool with the computer guy.
Yeah.
And also be super cool with the
shout out,
you know, the drug dealer or whatever.
Talk about that quickly, W. Like how do you come about to be that person who doesn't get involved but is cool with everyone? Because I think that's a skill in itself to
Very
be able to move about in those
different circles,
man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trust.
I've never thought about it, man, but I think at least to me, I'm always just myself.
Yeah.
I never pretend to be something I'm not, because I think you can see through that easily, especially where I'm from. Yo, if you be trying to be something you're not, you're gonna get exposed quickly. So I just tend to be myself, and I think just people just gravitate to it, to that. I've always been like, yo, if you don't like me, but I'm always respectful. Maybe that's because I've been taught from home, like, doesn't matter if it's the cleaning lady or the CEO of the building. Same respect, you know, because...
Treat the cleaner how you treat the CEO.
You know, at the same at the end of the day, he or she shits, he or she bleeds when something happens. So, and that's the same as for you, for everyone. So, you're human first, you know, so... I just lost my train of thought, but sorry, what are you saying?
Sorry, because I jumped in there. You were talking about like the positive and negative effects of being like even...
I remember. I think the positive thing is, as you were saying, is there's like a negative aura around the word gang. And I think not even just in Belm, but I think globally, like people just flipped it like, nah, man, yo, this he's gang.
Yeah,
like he's one of us because...
Yeah.
So much negativity, and you can complain about it or do something about it.
Mm.
And I think people just rose up and like, yo, fuck it, we're just gonna flip the script. And if it's gang, it's gang, because he's part of us. He or she is. It's us, and that's gang. So what you think about it, whatever, you know. And I think that's for me at least. That's why I say gang, because I don't see it as negative.
No, it's not.
You know? I don't see it as negative.
It's a brotherhood. And now it's funny because now it's like, oh, what's Brano saying? That's gang.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's even more gang. You understand? He's really gang.
Even now that everyone's doing like shares and stuff, someone will make a little bit of profit. It's like, yeah, gang business. Like stocks.
Missed that.
Yeah, missed. Gang business.
Gang business. Now, I wanted to touch on something, because obviously, like, we spoke a little bit about how it was growing up in BIMS, but like, how did you land to where you got to now? And also, like, for people that are listening, like, how would you define who you are and what you do? Because you're multifaceted, isn't it? How would you define that?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's an interesting question.
So
the first one was, how did I get where I'm at now? Or?
Maybe you should flip it. Like, how would you define what you do now and who you are? And then, like, how you got here?
Yeah.
It was an interesting journey. I don't know. I just tend to, like, I don't think a lot about stuff. Like, I think a lot, but I don't think a lot. Because in my mind, if I think too much about stuff, I overcomplicate it. Mm. So most of the stuff I do just happened to fall on my lap. I'm like, okay, let's go. And it just worked out. Not to say that it was an easy thing, but I just think just the perseverance, just believing in something, you know. I just believe in I can always be the best version of myself at any given point in time. So every time I just try to better myself, and I think just that just translates in where I'm at in music or whatever I do. I just try to improve, and it just works out because I really believe in myself. Mm-hmm. That I can do whatever I want to do if I just put my mind to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just how I started moving and just seeing opportunities and just grabbing them by the balls. No homo.
For everyone that's listening, like, could you just like explain to them what it is that you do? So like, I think that's what you were getting on, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, just for them
to actually define what I do.
Yeah.
So I make music. Mm-hmm. I try to just put my community in, because I was saying earlier, like, the community has been so, for so long, been in a, like, a negative daylight. Yeah. I just try to flip that script in my own way, because I cannot change the world, but I can change my world, mm-hmm. You know?
That's so sick.
So, yeah, so I just try to do better for myself. And if I just believe in, if I radiate some kind of energy, I'm going to attract that. Mm. And lo and behold, it really, really happened. So if my neighbor sees me doing good, he might think twice doing something negative. I cannot tell someone to do what he or she doesn't want to do. Mm-hmm. But if I give maybe the right example, I might inspire one person to do that. But that one person can inspire 10, and those 10 can inspire 100.
Leading by example, man. Yeah. It's a dope thing. It's a dope thing. So, yeah.
No, I just wanted to touch, like, speaking about that, there was a very recent example in it. Mm. I know Kwame spoke about it, like, seeing you on the news and stuff. But, like, basically, in the Netherlands, there's a curfew, and a bunch of people were talking about, like, rioting or protesting against it. And you kind of advised people from the ends not to do that, right? Like, talk a little bit about why you felt the need to do that and, the impact that your message had.
It's actually not a funny story, but it was I was just sitting at home, and I was I think that whole week was a bit like the vibe was a bit eerie. Mm. Not necessarily in the Belmer, but just like on social media, and because a lot of stuff was going on in Holland. And I think like 4 days prior, somewhere in the south of Holland, they were rioting against like the curfew and stuff. Mm. And they were like fucking up, like
going ham,
like busting down windows and stuff. And all of a sudden, like this online flyer surfaced, and was like, Belmer, let's stand up and stand up and riot against these people. But the message was so weird, because it was like, we don't even talk like
who
this.
Did this come from?
Like this. And but I realized, like, because due to circumstances, a lot of people are inside, frustrated and stuff. So you might need one kid or one person who's like, fuck it, we're just going to go outside and everyone's going to follow. But what we really have to realize, especially coming from Belmer, like, we're already in a negative spotlight 24/7. And if we engage in something like this, it's going to be bigger than the thing that happened way earlier in a different part of the country, because we already 3-0 down, you know. So if we engage in the activities, it would have been crazy.
Yeah,
because to me, it just try and look for stuff to just shove into our shoes. Mm, like, yeah, the Belmont again. You see, it's this minorities. And also because the elections are coming up, it would have been a really bad look if something really happened, you know? Mm. So to me, it was like, no, man. Yo, guys, before we think about doing shit, think twice, because we're already down 3 or 4 points. And if we do this, we're just going to give them more ammo to fire. So I was like, I just spoke from the heart. And I never expected it to just blow up, because I was just speaking, because I thought I have a small community, a small voice in the community. So I just, let me just do my part. I cannot necessarily go out and stand and protest, but I can do this. Because there are more ways to roam, you know? So I was like, yeah. And then it just went.
And you actually ended up on the news, right?
Like how do you call it? Like it's a channel that a lot of youth in Holland watch and listen to. Phonics Radio. Yeah, it's actually a radio station.
Yeah,
but they also do like videos,
visuals and that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was gonna touch on something, because the one thing that's very apparent, is like, so you've spoken about knowing that there's a perception of you in it, just because of where you come from, where you live. But you also said something that fascinated me around seeing people that you can relate to, right? And like, you spoke about white people coming into school and like, I can't relate. Like, what do you think the responsibility of the generation, people like yourself now, is in order to inspire kids to do whatever they want to do in it? Because I feel like a lot of times people are sort of pigeonholed into certain careers, certain choices, and into certain narratives, and just play into those because that's all they're told and that's all they know, innit?
Yeah.
But you're someone who's obviously broken the mold and gone against that and just always done your thing.
Mm.
So I just want to know a little bit, like, what is your guiding words on how do people sort of break that mold and just do their thing?
Believe in something. That's, I think, first and foremost. Without faith, it's basically not really gonna fuel your drive, you know? I think, as you were saying, it's interesting to hear that, because it's really like that. If you're from Southeast, what we have been, at least when I was growing up, what was told is, or what was shown is, either you be a footballer or something in sports or something in music.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be a scientist, there's no information on that. If you want to build kitchen closets, I'm just saying shit.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know, just... The only thing that we saw around us, people making it, was either football or music.
Yeah,
nothing
yeah.
else. You know, because I also think the people that then made it into something else never really spoke about it.
Yeah.
Because I think, I don't even know where it came from, but I think maybe it was because there was no platform or no opportunity even to talk about it, because we didn't see that. We only saw football or music. Other than that, it's like, okay, you're a scientist, but I don't see you on TV. I don't see you
driving a Lambo in Dubai.
I don't see you coming back.
I see you on the metro, though, isn't it?
I see you on the metro with some boot cuts on, bro. You know? But that's how it was like.
The mindset.
Exactly. Yeah, but I think to get back to your question and how to break the mold is just. I don't know. Actually, it's a good question. I might have to think about it. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. Might have to think. I'll get back to that.
No, because I think we have it coming from like London as well, right?
Yeah.
Like I realized quickly when I was like 13, 14, I can play ball, but I don't think I can make the Premiership. You understand? And when I was younger, I had this world or this idea that I think I said it before in one of the episodes that, like, in my childlike mind, there was two worlds.
Mm.
There was the real life and there was the TV world. I was like, there's no way I can get to the TV world. Like, Alan Shearer. I can't really get to him, you understand, innit? Because, like, to me, there was so much, like, distance. And I think now what I see you and a lot of others doing is just letting people know, hey, you can do whatever you want and do wavy stuff. And also, whatever you do, you can still be yourself. Do you understand? Like, if you become a pilot or a scientist, you don't have to speak like in X's and 13.
Exactly,
you understand? You could be like, nah, really and truly. You understand it? Like,
exactly.
You
can that's
be,
the thing.
Be your authentic self. Mm-hmm. And because I also know that you also spoke at a Patala summer school in Oscom, right? Yeah. Which I think happened after like the death of like what do you call it, George Floyd. Do you want to speak on that and how you're inspiring kids of like 8, 9, and 10 and upwards and whatnot?
Yeah, because coming back to my story about never seeing like representation of people that look like me or stuff. So I was like, when I got the chance to do that, I was like, yeah, for sure.
Of course,
because
isn't it? Yeah.
I remember me being in their shoes and just sitting in class and someone coming and talking, just speaking. Yeah, you can make it if you want. If you want to do it, just be. I'm like, yo, I hear you, but I don't look like you. So yeah, I don't even know where you're coming from. Yo. I don't understand your struggle. I don't even know the struggle I've been through. Mm. But I can relate easier to someone who looks like me. That might, it could be my brother, my cousin, because he might have the same struggle that I had, or he might have went through the same stuff that I went through. So I was like, yeah, I want to go because these kids are all from the Bijlmer. So, of course, everyone's story is different, but there are going to be some overlapping stuff. Mm. And if it's coming from me, someone who could be their brother or their cousin or whatever, it's more, their ear will be more open to it, I think, because that's how I thought, at least. And so I was like, yeah, let's go. And it turned out really good. Yeah. Mm.
No, nice, man.
I was gonna just do like a little bit of like a word association. So like if we go back in the golden age,
freestyle Femi over here, isn't it, bro?
But like if you go back into the museum or something, you'll see like artifacts from that generation. Mm. So like with your generation, like what we perceive to be like the golden generation, like what artifacts? So we've already got the Air Force Ones there. So if I say like back in the day it was like a horse and carriage, would be like, okay, cool, that's kind of like royalty. What would that equivalent be for like? Would you say your golden generation today? Instead of a horse and carriage, what would you have?
Today, or you mean as I was growing up?
Today. Now.
I have to think about that one, man. What would be my horse and carriage?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. What would that represent in like the community today? So rather than a horse and carriage, what would that be? That?
Maybe like a
Vespa, fam.
Maybe like a fresh scooter.
I was thinking. But I wouldn't necessarily say Vespa, because Vespa is like an Amsterdam thing. It's not necessarily a Bijlmer thing.
Okay.
But
so interesting that you say that.
Mm. Yeah, it's
Amsterdam
really,
thing, not a Bijlmer thing.
It's a world within a world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, 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 I'm telling you, it's layers, you know, it's crazy.
I do have a question that just sparked, and obviously we'll get back to
this. I'll get back to that.
Like, what does it take to be open-minded coming from where you come from? Because you spoke about Bijlmer being a bubble, but you went to school outside of Bijlmer and you used to go out, used to travel outside. Mm. Like, what did those things do for you? What did those experiences do for you? Because I feel like being open-minded is the first step to realizing that you can do much more than just those two things we mentioned, right? So, like, what does traveling outside of that world do for you?
I think it, I can only speak for myself, it sparked the open-mindedness for me, because as I was telling the story about this guy asking me, like, have you ever been shot or whatever, I just, at that time, I was like, what is this guy talking about? But as I was growing up, I was starting to understand, like, this is his perception, it's his world. So rather than me, like, fighting him, it's his reality. So I cannot, even if I don't agree with it, I cannot argue with your reality, because that's what you see.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think subconsciously, I just started to accept, like, everyone sees the world differently. Like, of course, we live in the world, but in that world, everyone has his own world. So just trying to listen to what you have to say or what you, how you see the world, I think that sparks and just opens your mind. And, just being constantly exposed to that environment and different stuff, that's when the open mind just comes to you, if you're open to it, at least. Because if you're also stuck in your own world, you're never going to be open-minded.
Yeah. True. Mm-hmm. Even what you said about growing up with the multiple nationalities around
you. It started there, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you've always just had, like, one eye and ear open. Like, being ingrained in your culture, but also just being curious about others.
Exactly.
I think that's always the launch pad of putting yourself out there, innit?
Definitely. Yeah, it's a curiosity.
That's mad interesting,
yeah, curiosity,
man.
Yeah. Curiosity.
So, I was going to ask as well, be like, so, in your everyday life, yeah, and you're a rapper, you're a community leader, community activist. What's the interactions that you have, like, with people from Bijlmer, and what are they asking you? Like, what are the type of things that they want to know from you? Because they, I'm sure, like, you mentioned people from the Bijlmer. I mean, you were growing up as well. It's like rappers, musicians. here's a musician within the ends that I can go reach out to? Like, what do they want to know?
That's a sick question.
Yeah, that's a sick question. I think the most things I've heard, especially from like kids younger than me, was like, how did you get there? Mm. But then I asked them, like, what is there? And then I think there's, I was saying there's like a bubble, right? And so seeing me, for instance, performing on at a festival like Apple Sap,
yeah, I've seen you there before,
or Open Air or something, to them it's like it's really far away, and I'm just like, because to them it's how do you say, not common to see.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know
how to, someone that you can reach out to doing.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know how to explain, and like, how do you get there? And because I don't really think about those stuff, like some questions really catch me off guard. Like, how did I get here? You know, but what does he mean? What does he actually mean? Like, what is the nuance behind this question? You know, and I think that's a really interesting question that I don't even know how to answer that, to be honest. And I think in that moment I just say what's on my mind, on my heart, you know. But I really can't give you a direct answer to that.
That's fair. I think the reason why I wanted to ask it was just because, like, it's interesting to figure out, like, as us as well, like, and what you were talking about before, where people get out of the ends and you don't see them, or it looks like they're not the type of people that we want to be. But in actual fact, there's a lot, all of those people, regardless if you've played football, you're a musician, or you're fixing shelves, there's a journey that you've gone on to, and you've all got similar personality traits, you've got similar, like, drives and ambitions and whatever. So I was just like wondering if you knew, like, if there was something that came out, or like a common question that comes out that you might answer. But I guess, like, it's more like, what advice would you then give to someone that's just hustling to be themselves? Because when we spoke to our last guest, Ada, and we were asking her, like, why she chose a life of, like, freelance. Like, just why are you a freelancer? And I guess her answer was to be in control of shit. Like, what advice would you give to people that are trying to follow in a path of, it could be music, it could be sports, but it could also just be creativity. Do you know what I mean? And whatever. So, like, what would you say?
Yeah, believe in yourself. Because that's always my rule, like, just believe in yourself. Because as I was growing up, I'm an only child. Like, I have half brothers and half sisters, but of my parents, I'm only child. So I had to figure a lot of shit out on my own, because sorry to curse, but
curse away.
Yeah,
because, we own this platform. Yeah, so.
Because you have to imagine, facts, like, my parents are both immigrants, so when they came here, language barriers, you know, and my dad, being the smart man he is, he just went to school and just started learning the language, so he could at least, you know, navigate in this country.
Sick.
And indirectly, it inspired me, because he did a lot of stuff on his own, you know, helping out my mom, and my mom doing her thing, working. So in their hustle, they maybe never said it out loud, but they inspired me, because I could see it. I could see my dad just coming home, working, boop, boop, going out again, learning the language, you know. And to me, it was like, yeah, no one is telling him to do it. No one is giving him instructions. No one is giving him advice. And he's just doing it on his own. But because he believed in something, he believed in, if he can understand the language, he can get a better job. He can support home, because he believes in the opportunity he has being here, you know. And that just always resonated to me, like, he believed in something, I have to believe in something. And what I believe in is myself, my own ability to learn the language. Because he believed in himself to have the confidence, like, yes, I can learn this language. Of course, I have no tutor, I have no teacher, but I can learn this language, you know. And my mom as well, like, I don't even know how to say it. This woman has had so many jobs, but in everything, she always said, like, have faith, because maybe the road now is a bit bumpy, but it's always going to be work out for you if you just believe believe you want to have a black TV, you're going to have a black TV, you know, because you believe in it. But just find a way to get money or to buy the TV, but just believe in something, because if you believe in something, you're going to find a way to get it. That's basically how the mantra, basically. You know,
I think that's the thing that's difficult, right? Because as we've basically come to the conclusion, because if you can't see something outside of what you're typically shown, how can you believe that it's possible, right? Unless you have a tremendous amount of self-belief. And I feel like that's kind of the answer there. It's like, yeah, okay, there's no people that look like me in this field or in this industry, but to your point about being yourself, it's what I really want to do. I believe in myself, so I'm going to go and do it. And then I can set the path of other people like myself from this community to do that as well. Mm. And I think that's just a sick thing to have. But also, honestly speaking, like, I was part of this trap. A lot of people in our community don't have the confidence to venture out and do other stuff.
No.
Or to chase other stuff, only apart from what's told to us. So I really, like, that really resonates with me, basically. And I think it's just a sick way to approach things and look at. But I also think that belief needs to be sort of, like, instilled from people like us as well, you know?
Yeah, facts.
So that was a long way of saying I agree with you.
Just bear with me, guys. My English, I have to think about my words, man.
No, dude, it was crazy.
Go.
We spoke about it.
It's not true. It's not true, bro. Your English is... And crazy,
bro. Use the word
it's
like
it's so good. And you all talking about believing in yourself, Manir, geloof in yourself.
My God,
come on,
bro. You have got this. Honestly, some of the language you use, I'm like, yeah. In 10 years, I'll never do that. The equivalent word in Dutch, innit, bro? Your English is stupendous, bro. Yeah, and real. I write.
I appreciate it, man. No, I honestly just have to think about so much. I'm like, okay, how did you say this?
You're good. Straight.
Thank you, guys.
Do you guys have any more questions? You want to try on talking?
No? Huh? Why is everyone looking at people? Because
your leg was dangling. Usually when the leg dangles, Stephen's ready to load, bro.
He's been here for like an hour.
I got a question, Rano, because you're talking about the golden generation. Like, in an essence, or how would you define, like, creativity?
Mm. Wow. I think expressing yourself in what way feels right for you. Like, if you want to express your creativity in spoken word, for instance, or boxing, because I have a friend who is a kickboxer, and he used to give me some lessons, and I asked him, like, yo, where do you get, like, the inspiration or to fight? And he was like, Dragon Ball Z. I was like, yeah, funny.
Sick.
Then I asked him, like, okay, that's interesting. It's obvious because they fight and whatever, but what is, like, the backstory? And he's like, you know, I watched a fight of his, like, highlights, and he did, like, a move. Like, it looked like he kind of, like, shifted to the left. Like, he just did a step to the left, but it looked like he really dodged, like, the punch that was coming. Like, he could see it coming, basically. And I was like, yo, that move is sick, but not everyone has the ability to move that quick. You know, sometimes you just get the blow and just
take it
and just... Throw your own blow. And he was like, yeah, that move was inspired by Dragon Ball because they're fighting. But he was like, also the, like, in Dragon Ball, you guys remember, like, when they were fighting, they used to, like, transport.
Yeah.
Just, like, all of a sudden, the guy's behind you. Yeah. He's like, that's where he got the idea to move like that. Yeah. I was like, yo, that's a crazy way of thinking. You know? I was like, yo, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Because it looked like he just... out of nowhere, he just was on the side of the guy and just punched him. Like, how do you even think? He's like, I just watched Dragon Ball. It's like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah, I was like,
yo, that's crazy. Because I would have never thought of that because I'm not a fighter.
But he
is a fighter, so he uses his creative mind to apply that in his sport. You know, so to me, it's like, that's crazy. So just whatever you feel and what you do, just, you know, just
bring it to life.
Get it out, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
But you are a creative. So where do you go for, like, where do you find inspiration?
Everywhere, man. Everywhere. Like, literally everywhere. Like, I remember, like, not anymore. I'm a bit ashamed of it, but I could write whole songs just based off on a sound or a word I used to hear. I remember just, my mom just used to say, like, crazy stuff. Like, my mom is, she's crazy. Like, her nickname was Glory Thing. I don't know why. It's Glory Thing, because she's, like, her energy is really bubbly, you know? And she just used to say crazy words. I don't even know. Like, I think she just makes them up. And I always, like, had to think, like, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. You know, so every time someone just said something and I didn't know the word, I would just make up my own
version of it
and just think, okay.
Sick,
and then I just write a song and then boom. I don't even know where it comes from.
I have no idea why you're ashamed of that. I'll be so proud of that.
Me, bro. I'm just like, make up a word. Gonna make up a meaning for it and then a song related to it.
But even last time when we was doing the shoot, I remember you was talking about a chef.
Yeah, YouTube, I remember this.
And you used that as part of one of your intros.
Yeah.
Like, shit like that.
The most random clip as well.
Yeah, because it was Ras Kitchen. Shout out. I was watching it. So it's basically an older Jamaican guy.
Yeah.
And this Canadian dude visits him like every year. I think they're friends now, obviously. And the guy's way of living was so interesting to him. Mm-hmm. He decided to vlog, you know? And so I just watched. It's funny, you know? It's funny. And but he's also like a vegan chef. So it's interesting and funny at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was just watching it, and he was like... because he's Jamaican, obviously, so he speaks in a lot of proverbs, right? And so he said, like, he said something like, yeah, man, you need fire and water. Fire by its own. Can I play it?
Yeah, of course, bro.
Of course. What he said, was so interesting. I have it right here.
But it's mad that you're taking inspiration for something totally disconnected from music, so to speak. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Here we go. Because he said...
Everybody have to use the fire. You can't do without fire and water. The two of them bad, but the two of them feel alive. So you have to know if you do them.
Yeah, my nigga, we made it.
So he said, like, fire and water, of course, but you have to, it's basically two separate elements.
Yeah.
But they are there. Mm. So you have to know how to deal with them. Mm. And to me, I interpreted it as like a fire as like your anger and your and water is like the calmness.
Yeah.
You have to seem to find a balance in between the
facts.
To deal with it.
Yeah.
You cannot only be angry the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You cannot be calm the whole time. You have to find a balance.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So you get your inspiration from everywhere, basically.
Yeah, like random Sick. Stuff. I don't even. Oh, sorry. Random places. I don't even think about where I. Yeah. Just look everywhere and just see inspiration. You know, that's crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy.
This has been a very good conversation, man.
Thank you, guys.
And it's something that we've been like, because when we was chatting the other day, and I said, "Yo, like, Burano's in for Saturday." Mm. He was just like, "Sick," because
make it happen.
Yeah, because obviously, like, we've all been to Bilma, like, individually. I don't think we've gone collectively yet. And it's just such an interesting place, bruv. And the people that come out of it always have a really good point of view.
Mm.
And for us, like, you have a sick story, and we just were so gassed to dive into it a bit more. But also just hear, like, a bit more about you, innit?
Yeah,
like,
appreciate
what
it.
Makes
yeah,
you
man.
Who you are you. And, like, how you've got to where you've got to so far. Mm. And I think it's a very inspirational story. I think when people listen to this and, you know, when the film comes out, they'll get a better understanding of you, but also like your community and where you're
definitely.
From. Yeah. And I think that's what's so important, because as we said at the beginning, man, like for Londoners, when we came to Amsterdam, the perception we have is red light districts and coffee shops.
Yeah.
But it's so much more, it's so much more nuanced, like you said, and you said layered, Kwame. Mm. And but we're just very thankful for you coming
thank out.
You,
so thank
big
you.
Up to definitely you.
Bro. And I think yes. I have an answer for your question. I was thinking about it the whole time, about the horse and chariot, right? I think for a lot of people in Southeast, can you rephrase?
No. I was basically just trying to draw some parallels. Just find out like what does your generation's palace and kingdom look like. So like, okay, back then they had the horse and chariot. Well, what would that be? That vehicle mode of transport that you say like, yeah, this is us.
It changes. Mm-hmm. It has changed over the years. So.
Yeah.
At a point in time, it was I don't know. You guys in London have car company? You have Opel, right?
Vauxhall.
But here, I think in 2010, around 2010, out southeast, it was
Astra.
Astra?
Yeah. Same in London, bro. Same in London.
And then after that came the Sirocco, Volkswagen.
Yeah,
Volkswagen
yeah,
Sirocco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was slapped. That was the fraudster, the 419. That was that shit.
You know what's really funny, bro?
Yeah, man.
We used to play for FC Amsterdam,
all
of us. You know, in Strandvliet.
Yeah, that used to be called Amsterdam, and that's where I played.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Bare players from our team had the Sirocco.
Sirocco. Because it was a status symbol. Like, it was if you had the Sirocco,
that guy.
Before that was the Goal 5.
Goal
5. And then came the Sirocco was like, that was
pinnacle.
Yeah.
Top level.
And the Goal 5 was like, you can sit with us. You know? Yeah.
And then if you had to pick, like, okay, cool. Back then they had the palace. For you, like, where is that? Where is that palace? Where, you know, what represents a palace to you?
Community centers.
Mm.
Community centers. Like, the whole thing is there are no Yeah, okay, there are like, there's like one now, but we used to have a lot. Like every hood basically had one. So for me, it was the one at the Hofgeest, people who know. But all of a sudden, I think it looked like in 1 year, all of them just vanished.
Yeah.
But I would say community centers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, because that was the place that held the
glue.
The glue and also the bad kids off the streets, you know.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Because you could do stuff there. You could have like drum clinics. Just stuff that was interesting for us, you know.
Sick.
Or even if you didn't have anything, you can go play PlayStation there, you know. So,
sick.
Yeah. Community centers.
The very, very last one would be like the crown or the crown jewels. Like, what would be the crown jewels for your generation? Like, what's the most important thing or the most valuable thing in the community, in your opinion?
Mm. Oh, it's a good question. The most valuable thing.
Yeah, it could be art form, it could be music, it could be creativity, it could be a mentality, or it could be like an item that you guys feel like once you have that represents, like, you made it. Or what is that most valuable thing within the community that you feel?
I think actually making it with the thing you like, the thing you love. Let's say if you're a musician and you like to play the bass guitar and you make it, people are like, yeah, man, I always used to see him with his bass guitar, but now he made it. Shout out to that guy. You know, that's the thing. But it doesn't matter what it is. If you're a scientist, whatever you want
to
do.
Shout out to the scientists.
I'm just saying it.
We see you too, bro.
Yeah, because I spoke to kids. This kid was talking about he wants to build his own Silicon Valley. And to me, it's like, yo, that's amazing. Insane.
To even have that quote, though.
You know, it's insane. But I never used to hear that. So to me, it's like, yo. It's crazy. So making it with the thing you love, that everyone can, even if I don't like you, I'm going to respect
that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, the ambition and passion is the crown, basically.
Yeah, man, for real. Bless.
It's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful.
You've been listening to the Out of Home podcast. This has been crazy. I don't even want to do the outro. This is dope, man. Later, bro.
Just drop the mic, bro.
Thank you, Burano. Thank you, Burano. Thank you for all your time, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Like coming through and just dropping some gems. I'm getting sentimental in it. You'll understand after. But yeah, man, it's been sick listening to you talk today, bro. So thank you so much.
Thank you guys for listening to my broken English.
It's the Out of Home podcast. You're listening with your boys, Kieran, Yaf, Stephen, and the one and only Burano from the South Side. You're done, though.
Kwame's also here. Shouts out to Kwame.
Oh, sure.
Cheers!
You London boys are crazy.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.